emotional, transforming, musical, linguistic object.
Greetings from Cyberdelic Space. This is Lorenzo, and I'm your host here in the Psychedelic Salon. I know those of you who have been following our misadventures and previous attempts to get a decent recording from a Palenque Norte lecture at Burning Man are going to find this a little hard to believe, but this year we actually did get at least five halfway decent recordings. And thanks to Brian, who came up out of the audience after Mark Pesci's talk, we actually got some good recordings because Brian had a digital mini disc recorder with him, along with five blank discs. And in the true spirit of Burning Man, he offered to let me use his equipment. He just said, "Hey, send it back to me after the burn if we miss connecting after the Saturday talks." And I think this was Brian's ninth trip or so to the Playa from his home in Seattle, and it really showed. Can you imagine somebody leaving their recorder with a stranger at a Britney Spears concert? Wow, I have no idea why I just said that. I can't imagine the horror of even going to a concert like that. Oh well, I'm still getting the Playa dust out of my camping gear, so I guess it should be no surprise that there's still a little left in my brain, too. So where was I? Oh yeah, thanks to Brian, we all now have a Burning Man gift in the form of a clear and complete Palenque Norte lecture. And it's only fitting that the first such recording is of the talk that Eric Davis gave on Friday afternoon. The big tent at Entheon Village was packed, the heat was almost unnoticeable, and I don't even remember there being much dust in the air. In short, it was a perfect afternoon on the Playa. Well, I can't remember exactly what I said when I introduced Eric. The point I tried to make was that without his support, enthusiasm, and help in organizing the first of the Palenque Norte lectures at Burning Man in 2003, this lecture series, and probably these podcasts, would never have gotten off the ground. Eric was the first person I contacted after returning from the 2002 burn with an idea for this lecture series. And since I was new to the Burning Man community, I thought I'd first better ask an expert before trying to organize a theme camp to hold the talks. You know, what if no one would come to a lecture in the middle of the afternoon in the middle of a desert and during the time normally spent resting up for an all-night party? Now that I think about it, I'm surprised Eric just didn't laugh me off, but he didn't, and to be honest, I really wasn't surprised. I'd first heard about Eric from Terence McKenna. At the time, I was working on my book, The Spirit of the Internet, and I was asking Terence about one of the concepts that I was writing about when he said, "Before you write another word, you should read Eric Davis's new book, Technosis." And those of you who've read my book know that I not only took Terence's advice, but I also benefited greatly in my research thanks to Eric. And I guess it's kind of a sad footnote, but I think the last published interview of Terence, at least the last one I ever read, was the final interview in Wired that Terence gave to none other than Eric Davis. Well, I guess that's kind of a roundabout way of introducing today's program. After we hear Eric's talk, I'll give you some information about his new book, Visionary State, which he mentions briefly in this 2006 Palenque Norte lecture, that he titled Pharmacology and the Post-Human Future. And we'll begin with Eric commenting on that first series of Palenque Norte lectures in 2003.
Hey, welcome. Yeah, that was a very interesting decision on my part because I had been coming to Burning Man more or less regularly since 1994. And even though I'm a writer and I did write about the festival in 1995, I wrote the first kind of national article for the Village Voice that really kind of introduced the festival to a larger world outside of the super underground. I'd always resisted otherwise talking or writing or getting involved in that whole world. I came out here to kind of lose myself. And so that was a real pivotal year because there weren't really spaces like this for many, many, many years. There were small classes that people would give in their camps, but the idea of really having a lecture space was really significant, you know, and a lot of things in Burning Man evolve over time, and new forms emerge, new needs emerge that are responded to with new technologies, new approaches, and, you know, it's constantly evolving and in some ways devolving. It's sort of both are going on at the same time. And so for me, the introduction of these kind of spaces was both an evolution and a devolution. It was a devolution because this is a space of reflection, of analysis, of discussion, of talking. In a way, it's a step away from the pure chaos we also seek here. Of course, we can have them both. But it also represents the maturing of the community, the recognition that we're not just a little bubble, a pure Taz out here in the middle of nowhere, but that we're involved in a larger culture. There are very pressing issues, and it's a great opportunity to come together and connect and talk. What I'm going to talk about today is something I call the post-human self. And I'll get to it later in terms of exactly what I mean by that somewhat odd phrase. But I wanted to start off talking a little bit about visionary art because that's where we are. It's something that I've been fascinated with for many years and have written some about and done a lot of studying about. And what I want to reflect on a little bit, I mean, you can see part of the attraction here, just even this afternoon and in this in Entheon Village, is not just to the reality of visionary art, but the fact that there are visionary artists. And inevitably, a certain kind of heroism comes into our feelings about the great visionary artists, because while we all have a visionary artist inside of us, and many of us pursue that artist in our own creative light, it's a much smaller group that can speak to many, many, many people in a very strong way. There's still something distinct and different about a strong artist. And so what is this appeal? Why are we attracted?